Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. A little heat up for the next couple of days, so guard against that, stay hydrated, and all of that good stuff. Hey, Shane, how are you, man?
I'm good, good. How are you?
Good, good, good. You had a good weekend, I take it?
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, good enough? Yeah, good enough.
I had
Royals
a,
losing.
I had a first on Saturday within the last, I think, 4 years. The NCAA has allowed exhibition volleyball. So,
yes.
Yeah, Wichita
yes,
State
that.
And KU got together, played an exhibition volleyball match that
had a damn good crowd.
An incredible crowd, yes. And, you know, when Wichita State and KU get together for pretty much anything, it's going to garner a lot of attention. And but, yeah, for an exhibition volleyball match with so many new players for Wichita State, they got like 11 newcomers. But with KU in the house, the lower bowl was really full. And
gosh, that's great.
So, yeah, that's the first ever for Wichita State because they've never been able to, over the last couple of years, get together with a couple of schools that they reached out to try to play an exhibition. And KU had always played UMKC. But those two programs got together Saturday, and I worked that, and it went five sets. So I'm sure both head coaches were happy that, you know, they played as much volleyball as they possibly could. And they were.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that was kind of a cool first for Wichita State volleyball. So that's what I did on Saturday, and didn't do crap yesterday. So it was perfect.
Well, that's
actually,
quite all right.
I went to a movie with my kid.
Well, wait a minute.
I know
that's doing crap.
I know it is. Yeah,
I mean,
so I retract
mean, that's
that.
Doing something.
Yeah,
and dare I ask what you guys partook in?
Yeah. It was that movie Good Boys with the three little foul-mouthed
kids.
Oh,
which is supposed to be fairly good, right?
Well.
Funny? No, not good.
Clayton liked it, and I paid for it, so that was a good day for him.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty ordinary. It was a lot of just gratuitous cussing by those three little kids, which is kind of cringeworthy. I mean, these three kids were supposed to be in sixth grade. And the whole premise of the movie is they're doing everything they can to go to this party that's supposedly a quote-unquote kissing party. You know, there's guys and girls going to be at this party.
Okay.
And there's three kids don't know how to kiss. So that's what the whole movie is kind of based around. And they get in trouble, of course. They skip school, of course. And they cuss a lot. And you know, I like gratuitous cartoon cussing. I think that's funny. You know, like South Park and those kind of crude shows. But when those three kids are dropping F-bombs, I'm like, man.
Oh, kids are dropping F-bombs?
The sixth grade kids apparently were dropping. Yeah, the kids.
Okay, all right.
I know.
Okay.
So, like I said,
I mean,
I'm as salty
as the next guy, but I mean that's a little too much.
Clayton thought it was funny. So, and my reaction was, well, I'm glad you liked it.
Okay.
So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
But you had some good. Hey, look, it couldn't have been any worse than sitting around watching the Royals this weekend.
That's true. That's true. I was saved from that. But you know what? I kind of like this Pete Alonso kid.
He's
one home run away from matching Todd Hundley and Carlos Beltran for the most home runs in Mets history, and he hit one yesterday against the Royals. They lost. Royals lost 2 out of 3 to the Mets, but it brought up a couple of different points. First of all, there's going to be, barring injury, four new franchise individual home run holders with Hundley. Well, five, if you count Hundley, because he's going to do it in case he gets, unless he gets hurt. But I think it was on Thursday, Jacob brought up a good question. With the year of the home run, which this clearly is, how come nobody is threatening the home run record, the real one? Either of the real ones, whichever one you prefer. With all home runs piling up collectively, how come no one individually is even going to threaten 60?
No. Don't know.
That's what I said. I said, that's a good question.
Because don't have an answer for that.
Christian Yelich is currently on pace for 55 home runs. This is kind of a sneak preview of the Twitter question. Their franchise record is 50, held by Prince Fielder. Cody Bellinger is on pace for 54. The Dodgers franchise record is 49, held by Sean Green. Mike Trout is on pace for 53. The Angels record is 47, held by Troy Gloss. And as we know, Jorge Soler is still on pace for 45. And the Royals franchise record is 38, held by Mike Moustakas. And obviously the Royals individual franchise record, they're the only team that's never even got to 40. And unless Soler gets hurt or falls on his face, he's going to end up with 45. Yeah. But, and I got to say, Jacob buckled me. He's like, well, how come no one's not only threatening Barry Bonds, but not even threatening, you know, Babe Ruth or Roger Maris? And I was like, well, buddy,
don't have an answer
you
for
got
that.
Me. You got me on that one, yeah.
But you got more guys hitting 10 or more home runs than any time in baseball history.
By far, yes.
By a boat race.
Yes.
By a lap and a half.
And
it's
with,
ridiculous.
And with that, it's kind of rendered all these really cool, at the time, trade deadline moves pretty moot. Because it was all about strengthening bullpens, right?
All well, sure.
The National League contenders' relief ERA is atrocious since July 31st. Atlanta, Washington, Milwaukee, and the Giants have all gotten worse, way worse. Atlanta's ERA in August is 6.28.
Ooh.
And Shane Green's is 8.59. He was like the crown jewel at the deadline, Mr. Automatic for the Tigers. Him and Chris Martin both have ERAs over 8. Oh, actually, and they got Mark Melanson, too. His ERA is 7.36.
Yeah. Hmm.
So Atlanta, Washington, Milwaukee, and San Francisco have gotten worse. The Mets have gotten slightly better, but their bullpen ERA is still 4.84 in the month of August. And the Cubs just kind of holding steady at 4.11 in the month of August.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's basically flying in the face of conventional baseball wisdom. We're just going to outslug you. Because eventually you would think, okay, good pitching is going to be good hitting and blah, 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 and all of our good arms that we've piled up this year, it's going to carry us through. Well, not in the Dodgers' case. Not in the Braves' case, for sure. Not in the Nationals' case. Nationals hit like 8 home runs in a game a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm as much, not a purist necessarily, but the old school thinking in how you can win ball games in the postseason. I'm starting to wonder now.
I would wonder, and this would be a good year to wonder. Then again, the rules of baseball and the traditions of baseball may end up applying. Because how do they get that way in the first place? Because they generally win out. Pitching generally wins out over offense. I don't care who the hell is hitting the ball and how juiced it is. If a guy's hitting his spots, moving it around, and missing barrels, that's still the hardest thing in baseball to overcome.
Yeah, I know. But it seems like they're doing it less and less, especially with Max Scherzer on the shelf. Chris Sale is on the shelf, maybe for good. Now, I know the Red Sox are kind of out of it, but we can talk about the importance of Chris Sale going on the
shelf. But there's a lot of guys that are still, like Ryu is missing barrels.
Yeah, Greinke's still missing barrels.
Yes. Bueller's good.
Verlander's 15-4.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still guys out there that can go win you a game and can be the best player on the field. And in a series, one game is worth a bunch. In a playoff series, you get two guys that are – you give me Verlander and Cole and Greinke. How many good – how many winning performances out of those three are you going to get for the Astros? Aren't you counting on two?
You'd think
two are automatic, aren't you?
You would think.
So there you go.
Well,
if you can guarantee me two games in a playoff series, I'll take my chances with the rest. We'll see.
We will see. But
we will see. And maybe this will be the year where you need 8 or 9 runs to win a game.
Yeah, and that's that's all these numbers I'm looking at are pointing to that.
I hear you. But if in the absence of anything else, you give me the Astros pitching. I'll take the Astros pitching. And I'll still bet on them. Take me the ladders out of me. We'll see. But
you, tell me you heard what Aaron Boone had to say after they got their butts kicked 19-5. You catch what he said?
I did not hear it.
Okay. Well, hope you're sitting down.
All right.
The Yankees were so upset about losing 19-5 to the Indians last week that Aaron Boone said the league should consider implementing a mercy rule. So they can end the game before anyone gets hurt. And I'm not just saying this because
I know
that you loathe the Yankees. This is a real story. Apparently, he really said that. The Indians were up 7-1 after one, 12-1 after 4.5, and 14-3 in the seventh. It got so bad that the Yankees brought in first baseman Mike Ford to pitch the last two innings. That's not unheard of, but you know, position players pitch every now and then. But after the game, Aaron Boone said that Major League Baseball should consider adding a mercy rule, like Little League, so that players don't risk getting injured in a blowout. Here's a quote from him. I think there would be a lot of benefits to that. If you get to a certain point after seven innings or whatever, there might be something to that, some merit to that and worth exploring. Now, unquote. Sorry. The question would be, what's the cutoff? What would be the number of runs? In Little League, the game's called when a team has a 10-run lead through four, which probably wouldn't translate to Big League Baseball, or 15-run lead through three of the six. Now, we're talking about six-inning game with a Little League game. Look, the reason why there aren't run rules in every single college league, for example, and I think of those that don't have them, and they're kind of up for debate every so often. But the ACC sticks out to me as a league that doesn't have a run rule, and the American does, but it's kind of qualified. The reason why leagues don't, what I've heard, is why should you kind of get a benefit if, for example, in the first game of the series, let's say the Yankees got run ruled 19-5, okay? And it was the first and it was the first game of the series. That's two innings that they don't have to pitch somebody.
Yeah.
So it's kind of rewarding the team that got thrashed that they didn't,
taking them off the hook.
A little bit. And if we're that much better than you, and I know baseball's a day-to-day game, but in the ACC, for example, the reason I've heard is we don't want to give you any kind of benefit because we destroyed you. And like you said, it's kind of letting you off the hook. The game's over after a certain amount of time. If our roster from top to bottom is that much better than yours, why should you get the benefit of maybe in the third game of the series, because you held out a pitcher that you didn't have to pitch when we were killing you on Friday, could beat us on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which I happen to agree with. Nobody likes setting through 19 to 5, and nobody necessarily wants to see position players pitch, but tough
get
movies.
Guys out.
Right.
It's too bad. But no, I mean, you can't, I mean, part of the whole strategy over the course of series in baseball as the season goes on and over the course of 162 games, but every series is, you always like to jump on them that first game and get them to use more of their pitching than, I mean, that's basic strategy, for goodness sakes. Get into their bullpen. Take away a left-handed setup guy. Take away guys that, you know, so they can't pitch the next day.
Yep.
My God, I mean, that's huge. No,
I knew
that's ridiculous.
I knew you'd find that a little humorous.
No, that irritates me, and why are you even saying it? Come on, Aaron.
All right, come on. We're off and rolling on Monday Sports Daily. Got a big week for you, and it kind of well, signifies that football is back with the guests we'll have this week and moving forward. They are, today, Ivan Maisel from ESPN. We'll have him second hour. That'll be fun. He's got a really, really interesting podcast set up, and we'll tell you about that. Ivan Maisel will join second hour. Dan Israel, of course, on Tuesday, moving forward. The return of Brian Haney on Wednesday to talk KU sports, as KU football is getting a little closer as well. So we'll welcome those guys back. That's part of What's on Tap, courtesy of Side Pockets. Where the Monday lunch special out at Side Pockets, BLT or quarter pound cheeseburger, both served with fries for $5.95 today. That's What's on Tap at Side Pockets, corner of Kellogg and Tyler. Chris Sale reportedly set to have his left elbow examined by James Andrews. That can't make you very happy.
No, it's not. But it would make probably some sense based on the type of year that he's had. Boy, what if he has battled through an elbow issue that may end up, and any time that you go to Andrews, that's not going to end with, take a couple of aspirin, ice it down, and see me, you know, in a couple of months. I mean, he's going to get cut on. But if he's sucked it up and pitched hard and tried to, you know, manage his way through it and been effective here and there, and I mean, you know, he'd gain even more in my eyes, as long as he hasn't hurt anything.
All right.
Which obviously he has, but I'm talking about hurt something from a long-lasting standpoint. But no, you're right. Can't be good.
I mean, if he gets, and we're speculating a little bit, but if he gets cut on today, you'd be lucky to have him August 19th, 2020, which,
no,
you know, you go on most of the season without Chris Sale next year.
Yeah.
And they signed him to a 5-year, $145 million extension in March.
Get him right. I don't know where it was lost in the communication this year, if there were issues, whether he was forthcoming, whether things weren't read the right way. I mean, I don't know. The fact that he had real issues with velocity early in the season, I would have thought would have been a little bit of a warning sign. But,
well, the good news, if there is some, in 2014, he went on the 15-day with a flexor muscle strain in his left elbow. And unless I forgot him getting Tommy John, he hasn't had Tommy John yet, right?
So, no, he hasn't.
He's dodged these elbow bullets before, at least once before, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So we'll it may we'll not see. Be anything, but it may. Josh Gordon was reinstated. Antonio Brown apparently is still PO'd. And Cedric Benson passed away. All kinds of ups and downs from the NFL. And Chiefs lost to the Steelers 17-7. What to make of all that, we'll discuss when Bruce and I return.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.